Welcome to the NHL Wraparound Podcast, featuring Neil Smith, President, General Manager of the 1994 Stanley Cup champion New York Rangers, and longtime ESPN NHL veteran Vic Morin. Together, they share no-nonsense opinions on news and issues around the National Hockey League. Whether you're a casual or diehard fan, each episode of NHL Wraparound will leave you more informed. Now, here's your hosts, Neil and Vic.
And welcome to another edition of NHL Wraparound. Vic Morin, along with Neil Smith, and just 3.5 weeks left in the regular season. The wild card races are really heating up. And in order for teams to be able to get in, the pace is being set in the Eastern Conference. The Washington Capitals now are setting a pace of 92.5 points. So if you're the Red Wings or the Islanders or the Devils, that's the number you need to aspire to in order to get in. And in the Western Conference, the bar is being set by the Vegas Golden Knights. They are projected right now at just over 97 points. Great show coming up today. Our special guest, the president and general manager of the Carolina Hurricanes, Don Waddell. But first, a word from my Gray.
From Howdy Hughes, from Bellevue to Bedard, we're your source for game-worn jerseys. Go to mygray.com, M-E-I-G-R-A-Y.com, to start your collection today. Get real. Get it from my Gray.
And welcome back to NHL Wraparound. And before we do our one-timers, a special shout-out to the two newest members of the 50-goal club, and they're getting there for the very first time, Zach Hyman of the Edmonton Oilers and Sam Reinhart of the Florida Panthers. So just great achievements by both of those. And Neil, for your one-timer, going to tee you up a little news from Nashville.
Yeah, Music City, where the Predators are on fire. And here's the thing. In the preseason, with their brand new GM, Barry Trotz, nobody was giving them a chance. They thought that the moves, that they were going backwards and all this. Barry Trotz went out and hired Andrew Burnett, who had shown that he was a good head coach in Florida when he replaced Joel Quenneville and took them to the President's Trophy, the Florida Panthers. The two of them have gotten together and had a phenomenal building process this season. They're solidly in the playoffs. They're 15-2 in their last 17. And I got to tell you, Vic, they are a scary team. I mean, they got the right name, the Predators, because they are predatory and they're beating teams left and right. So hats off to Barry Trotz. Hats off to Andrew Burnett, who's doing a great job. Has to be considered for the Jack Adams Trophy. Must be considered for that. And hats off to Music City.
And my one-timer, Neil, we're going to continue the feel-good on the Washington Capitals over in the Eastern Conference that are now in the second wild card spot. Started the season 1-3-1. It looked like it was going to be a season-long struggle for rookie head coach Spencer Carberry. And even as late as February 8th, they were 7 points out of a spot, seventh in the Metropolitan Division. But then they started to make a little bit of a move. But even at the trade deadline on March 8th, and that had been the start of a 7-3-0 run that carries to this day, they moved Anthony Mantha to Vegas, Joel Edmondson to Toronto, and Evgeny Kuznetsov to Carolina. But here they are. They've got a rejuvenated Alexander Ovechkin who may hit the 30-goal mark after all of his struggles this year. They've gotten really good production from Dylan Strome, Connor McMichael, Sonny Milano. Charlie Lindgren has really upstaged Darcy Kemper in goal. And really one of the most remarkable things, and I know this is a stat that you hold near and dear, is their goal differential, which is absolutely defying odds. They are a minus 27 this year. And that is the lowest differential to make or at least be in contention for the playoffs since the 96-97 Canadians that were also minus 27. So still 4 games left on Tom Wilson's suspension, a couple of big games coming up with Detroit, including one Tuesday night, and then they close with Philadelphia on April 16th. So still a long way to go. But the good news for the Caps, they have two paths to get in. They can either get the wild card or they can come in third place in the Metro. But either way, this has been a great story in DC this season.
It sure has. It has really been a phenomenal story. Unbelievable.
Both teams, both Nashville and Washington. This one-timer segment has been brought to you by the Ninsel Wealth Partners. Our goal is to be your primary source of financial advice. Our mission is to provide quality strategies customized to your needs. We recognize that you place your trust in our ability to help you achieve your goals. To us, there's no greater honor, and without question, there's no greater responsibility.
My pleasure to, I won't say an old friend, Don, because that makes us feel old, but a long-time friend, a long-term friend. We back to 19, I looked it up to make sure I was right, back to 1977 when we played against each other in 78. You're a bit younger than me, so longer, at Northern Michigan. I was at Western Michigan. You went on to play for the Kings for a game against the Rangers of all time. Was that at the Guard?
No, it was in L.A. At the old Forum. And it was in January of 1980-81 season. The Ron Greshner and those days, yeah.
And then we were together, when we were playing against each other, but then we got to be together several times during the pro careers that we've had and to have. And congratulations on the season so far, Don. I want to say that too. I don't want to jinx the rest. I mean, you've had a real good year up till now. And I wanted to just ask you, because it's my favorite, you acted like a little bit of a Neil Smith there at the trade deadline, making the big splash that the Rangers always had to do. But my goodness, Gensel, obviously the biggest fish trade deadline and leading up to it. And then, taking Kuznetsov from the Capitals, who I think properly, but that's only my opinion. Tell us about those two moves. Cause I mean, they're the biggest, the Gensel move for sure is the biggest move in the NHL.
Yeah. You know, I started talking to Kyle Dubas of Pittsburgh over the last few weeks before the trade deadline, just checking in with him, seeing what he was planning on doing with his team. Obviously, he was hoping to make a good playoff run there. And, you know, when things didn't go the way he was hoping, he called me in that week of the trade deadline and said, "What's your interest?" And I said, "We have strong interest." And he was really looking for prospects more than just picks. You know, picks are great, as we know, but they're 3 to 5 years out, you know, and we've had a lot of picks over the years. So we had one draft, we had 14 draft picks. So we feel like we have a pretty good stockpile of potential prospects. And so when Kyle and I started talking, we, you know, came up with some names that we were willing to depart with and that he had interest in. And, you know, it took a couple of days of going back and forth, but you know, Kyle was doing his due diligence, making sure that he was getting his best return for Jake, which is what all general managers would do. And we were very fortunate at the end on that Thursday night to be able to wrap up the deal.
Don, how do you feel the fits have been for both Gensel and Kuznetsov so far?
Well, Gensel first, you know, I think you could play him with a lot of different players and he's going to have results because he's such a high-end skilled player. And he playing right now. He started off with Kuzi, now he's playing with Aho, and they've really lit it up the last 5 or 6 games since they've been together. And, you know, I think Jake's kind of player that, regardless who he's playing with, you're going to get good results because he's, you know, he's phenomenal around the net. He can pass the puck, but he can also shoot it. So now with that line with him and Aho and Jarvis, they've been really going well here and it really helped us even win more games than we probably thought we'd win at this point of the year. You know, it's tough this year. And Kuzi really gives us that number two center, a skilled guy. Tremendous. You know, we did a lot of homework on these players, you know, what they've done in the past. If you look at Jake, first of all, I think he's got 58 points in 58 playoff games, 34 goals, which we all know playoff hockey's hard to score when you have those kind of numbers. I mean, that's something that you certainly need. And Kuzi is the same thing, almost a point per game when he's played in the playoffs. And when the year they won the cup, I thought he was just outstanding. I can remember watching it. He was tremendous. So, you know, he had a little bit of a down year last year and this year. And so we thought bringing him into our environment and our locker room that we could get the best from him. And certainly he's had some very good games, and some other games he knows he's going to need to be better. But it's kind of the feel when you go to a new team is learning your new line mates. He's playing with two skilled, highly skilled guys in Shvestakov and Netchess. So we think they both have added to our team and are going to help us down the stretch.
Of course, you got to speak about the Stanley Cup pedigree that both of them bring. And also 18 years ago, back in 2006, the franchise won their first ever Stanley Cup. And they brought in Doug Weight and Mark Recchi late in the season. So it's almost as if you're kind of following in the footsteps of bringing in a couple of big names and hoping for a repeat almost two decades later.
Yeah, no, it obviously worked in 06 for Jimmy Rutherford and the Hurricanes. And, you know, when you have the opportunity, every year we've tried to add at the deadline. Sometimes you're successful, sometimes you're not. And this year we just felt that what we've been through the last few years, you know, backing up a year ago, we went through the trade deadline, and right after the trade deadline, the first game after, we lost Shvestakov for the rest of the year. And, you know, we lose in the conference finals. They scored four games. Florida scores 10. We score six goals. You know, we couldn't score. So adding, we weren't just looking at players. We're looking at players that had playoff experience and playoff success. And certainly these two guys give that to us. Yeah.
Donnie, you've had bad luck, I would call it, with tending injuries and the shuffling old tenders that you've had to stay competitive and hot position, because everybody knows the goaltending is the most important position in the playoffs. How do you feel about it this year with and Kochetkov and Spencer Martin?
Yeah. You know, we went through it earlier in the year where we were decimated in goal, and everybody was kind of pounding on me to add to our goaltending. And, you know, we knew we had Freddie Anderson, who had a health issue, was out for 3 months, but that he was coming back. Kochetkov, we just felt that more experience is only going to make him better. So, you know, we hung in there. But the thing about our team is, you know, we give up the least amount of shots in the league. Our top 60 are probably, sure, a lot of teams could say this, the best in the league, but we just don't give up a lot of opportunities. So I think our goaltending has been solid. Anderson's been back since he's been back from his injury. He's been tremendous. So, you know, right now we think that that's not an issue going forward.
Well, Vic, a little bird told me that you had quite the taxing experience this week.
Well, I did. And they all centered around my Dour jeans. And with all the experiences that I've had, I decided to wear them when I had my tax return prepared only last week. And I got quite the return. So more good news coming from Dour. And why? Because Dour jeans are durable and flexible without sacrificing comfort or style. Plus, they're antibacterial, which means less washing, and they're made of temperature-regulating fabrics for all-day and all-weather comfort. We know you'll love Dour jeans as much as we do. Order your own pair today. Check out Dour's flagship stores in Los Angeles or Denver, or shop online at shopdour.com/NHLfan. Right now, our listeners can get 20% off site-wide when you use our special URL. Shop dour.com/NHLfan. Don't wait to get 20% off. Go now to shopdour.com/NHLfan.
Don, a lot of free agent this summer, and I want to make you not enjoy you, because talking about having to sign guys in the summer is never really pleasant. It was anyways, but you got a lot of important players that are in a couple of RFAs. You know, what's your thoughts on those? It's an overwhelming number.
Yeah. First, with our RFAs, obviously, two biggest ones are Jarvis and Neches. You know, Jarvis is 3 years in the league, proven to be a very good player for us. And, you know, we'll get the RFAs are easier than the UFAs because at least we have control. Doesn't mean we're going to get them any less expensive or anything like that, but at least you have control. You know, the UFAs, you know, we knew this. That's why we signed Orlov last year to a 2-year deal on D, paid him probably a little more than he than we needed to, but we didn't want to get in the term, you know, so we felt that if we lost all our D or a couple of our D, that would be good there. You know, Shea, Pesci, Chatfield, all stellar defensemen. And, you know, our goal is to try to bring back as many as we can. We know we can't bring everybody back. It's just impossible. You know, there's this thing called the salary cap that we all have to live by. So, you know, you got to make the numbers work. But, you know, I think we got a pretty good foundation to start from. And, you know, we'll add as we, you know, we're trying to sign some of the guys as we speak. And as we get into closer to free agency, you know, we'll have a better understanding of where we are with our current team and have to go out. And, you know, the one thing is, you know, that maybe a few years ago, we were a tough sell. I think we've become a better sell now. A couple of things. We've built our own practice rink. It's phenomenal. I think I got the best coach in the league in Rod. Players like to play for him. And, you know, we used to be Raleigh was maybe not a place that players thought about going. It's different now. I know even last summer, I was fielding all the free agent calls from all the top guys. And, you know, obviously you can't sign them all. So I'm not as concerned as I know a lot of people are about where we go from here. You know, the good thing is when you look up front and you got Aho and Shveshnikov and, you know, you got a pretty good nucleus of younger players that you know you're going forward with and still in the back end, you know, Slavin and Burns probably going to play until he's 50. You know, and Orlov signed next year. And we got a couple real good drafted players that are coming out of college in Europe next year. So, you know, yes, there are some holes to fill, but it's not a panic by any means. We're not going to get in a spot and overpay just to feel good about signing somebody because, again, we know the cap's going up some, but we also got to make it work. And you don't want to chase something that you know you're going to regret down the road.
Don, what do you marvel most about Burns? He's a guy that never misses a game. And like you said, he could probably play until he's 50. The mileage that you get out of him is absolutely extraordinary. And he's just an unbelievable athlete.
Well, if you go to our locker room, you would think he's 21 years old. You know, he shows up early. He's got this routine he goes through that's just exhausting just to watch. You know, he's just a young, he's such a fun guy to be around. He's loved by all his teammates, but, you know, he puts the work in, you know, all summer. You know, when he comes to training camp last year, you know, he was one of our top condition athletes. And, you know, at 38 at that point, just turned 39 this year. And you see it, you know, he's one of the first guys there every day for practice. He's probably most time after games, the last guy to leave. You know, he does the maintenance that he needs to do. And I think he's playing either number one or number 2 minutes on our team right now and hasn't missed a beat. But he's just, I tell a little story if I can. Jarvis, who's 21 years old, spends a lot of time at Burns' house. And I said to Burns, I said, what do you and Jarvis have in common? He says, nothing. He comes to my house. He plays computer games with my 12-year-old son. He's closer to age than my 12-year-old son than he is to me. So I got a kick out of that. He's got to take Jarvis under his wing, but he doesn't even see when he comes over. Jarvis playing with his kids.
Who's better conditioned, Burns or Brind'Amour?
Oh, Brind'Amour for sure. I can take all my players and, you know, no, I'm telling you right now, Rod thinks he can still play and he's got the makeup for it. I don't know if he still could, but I think he feels like he could still go on the ice and compete and play because, you know, we're both early morning people. And I see him in the gym. He works a little harder than I do, I have to admit, but his workout will, he'll work out. And if it's game day, he'll work out again in the afternoon twice. You know, and it's just, it's ridiculous. His lifestyle is a little cleaner than mine. So, he's in phenomenal shape.
Well, they don't call him Rod the Bod for nothing, but we'd also be remiss if we didn't ask that he is also an unrestricted free agent after this year. What's your level of optimism of getting him re-signed and having him continue his reign behind your bench?
Yeah, 100%. We've had great talks. We're real close. You know, we put it off after finished it after the trade deadline, and I've been traveling, watching college games. And actually, I spoke to him the last few days that we're going to get together at the end of the week here. And we're going to get done. We got probably 90% of it done. There's just a few tweaks on it. So I'm confident he's going to be the coach of the Hurricanes for a long time.
You know, Don, just one last thing about Rod. The year that he was drafted by St. Louis, I was in the elevator. When he was just a kid, I was in the elevator. He had his St. Louis Blues jersey on. And he was ripped. He was ripped. You know, he's a phenomenal lead and a great story for everybody. Don, thanks for coming on and doing this thing. We don't want to keep you. We're just so, you've been so gracious to even do this with it. Want to wish you luck the rest of Raleigh and see some games, you know, down the road. There's a long way into the playoffs, I hope.
Yeah, absolutely. And Neil, as you know, you're always welcome here. And let's hope we can repeat what you did in 94 with the Rangers and win that cup.
Time now for a quick shout out to our sponsor. NHL Wraparound is brought to you by MyGray, your source for game worn jerseys. Head to MyGray.com to get your collection started today. Get real, get it from MyGray. NHL Wraparound subscribers can take 10% off any hockey jersey when they order at MyGray.com and use the coupon code WRAP10. Don't forget that coupon code WRAP10.
Welcome back to NHL Wraparound. Neil, Boston Bruins last year set NHL records with 135 points and 65 wins, only to get knocked out in the first round by the Florida Panthers. This year, though they do have the fewest regulation losses in the NHL, their straight up one loss record is only 41-31 because they've had 15 losses in overtimes or shootouts. And I saw a couple of games of theirs last week against the Rangers and the Flyers last Thursday and Saturday, respectively. And this team right now looks like it lacks a little bit of the punch that it had a year ago.
I think you're right. I think they do lack, but, you know, they've also lacked Patrice Bergeron, which was a huge part. He was their captain and one of the great centers in the National Hockey League. And David Krejci is gone, and they both retired after last season. So they've had to find their way around without those two star players. But Jim Montgomery must be a heck of a coach, because the way he got them to perform last year when they had all their pieces, and then come back and do it again this year and have them in first place most of the year this year. I mean, he has to be a Jack Adams candidate, I would think. Now, he obviously won the Jack Adams Award last year, and usually that doesn't happen two times in a row. But in all, he should be given some consideration for that award again this year. I just think that the Bruins, the adversity, Vic, that they're facing in the regular season, for example, I was at the game when they played the Islanders, and the Islanders beat them 6-2 in Long Island. And games like that, where you go off the ice and get on the bus and on the plane and you're really disillusioned, that's going to help you actually in the playoffs, because you'll be a little bit more resilient. And I'm not sure they had any of that last season.
Well, but they're going to be going into the playoffs this year with a lot of new blood, because not only, as you mentioned, they lost Patrice Bergeron and David Krejci, but also Dmitry Orlov, Taylor Hall, Tyler Bertuzzi. They have had some new blood. Most recently, Justin Brazo has been very impressive for them. And they do have Charlie Coyle and Pavel Zacha replacing Bergeron and Krejci in that 1-2 hole at center. But at the end of games where you really expect this team to push, it just doesn't appear to be there right now. And when you get into the playoffs and you're really grinding, you play so much hockey along the boards, is this team really going to be able to handle the Floridas and the Carolinas and the Tampas? And just, you know, there's so many good teams in the Eastern Conference, and I'm wondering how you feel they stack up this year.
Yeah, I wonder myself, can Boston handle those teams? I think the one team that I can't see them beating is Florida, if they have to play Florida. The one team that they should hope they can avoid in the opening round would be Tampa Bay Lightning, who have star players and know how to win and have been there and done that, but are sort of getting a little bit chipped away at by the fact that they've got so many high-priced star players, and you can't have as good of supplementary players like we saw happen to Chicago after their Stanley Cups. It's now happening to Tampa. So back to Boston, I think that it's going to be interesting to see what they do in the playoffs, how they come together. Are they going to be the Boston that we saw at the beginning of the season, or the Boston that we've seen in this second, third, and third of the season?
Yeah. Do you see maybe a little bit of an advantage this year, because this team's going to probably come in under the radar for sure? Because last year, all of the spotlight was on them with the record-breaking season they had. And maybe the expectation is lower just a bit this year. And oh, by the way, if they finish second in the Atlantic, they're going to see a team that they've been pretty familiar with and they've had a lot of success with in the past, and that would be the Toronto Maple Leafs. So maybe this is a little bit better formula for them.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that if they played Toronto, that would be a heck of a matchup, because Toronto's struggling with the whatever they want to call it there, the curse, whatever they call it, that they haven't been able to go. Last year, they won the first round. They better win it again, or else the natives up there are going to be restless. So that's a team with a lot of pressure on them. And that I think Boston would match up well with them. That the other team that's going to be in the spotlight and on the radar is Florida Panthers, because they've just carried on what they did in the playoffs last year right into this season. So they're not going to take anybody by surprise, the Florida Panthers.
How much added pressure do you see on David Pastrnak and Brad Marchand this year, knowing that the amazing players that were around them this year are now retired?
I think there's outside pressure on them, meaning that there's pressure. Not they don't feel it themselves, but there is expectation. Let's use the word expectation. Marchand, first year as captain of the team. Pastrnak wants to prove that he is a winner, along with a fantastic goal scorer that he is. So, yeah, there's going to be some pressure on that. Pastrnak reminds me of Panarin. The pressure that's going to be on Panarin in the playoffs for the Rangers may be similar to Pastrnak. You know, it's one thing you're doing it during the regular season. Can you do it in the playoffs?
And I think it's a great point. And there are going to be 16 really good teams competing for the Stanley Cup in a month. I don't think there's going to be any more compelling team to watch than the Boston Bruins.
I agree with you. And I think Jim Montgomery's a really good coach, and I'm going to be very interested to see how they do. You know, who will they play? Will they play Swellman or will they play Ullmark? That's another thing that's out there. To which goalie are they going to go with? So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, it absolutely is. And I'll be very curious to watch just how Coach Montgomery adapts different systems to the potential opponents that they're going to have to play.
Yeah.
This is the human side of the story, brought to you by UBS Financial Services Incorporated. And I want to share a story about Layla Anderson. Now, you may remember her as the St. Louis Blues fan that was the inspiration for the club back in 2019 when they won their first Stanley Cup. But I want to give you a little bit of history and then kind of bring the story forward a little bit. So when she was 10 years old, she was diagnosed with a rare autoimmune disease. She endured multiple medical procedures, including chemotherapy. And in January of 2019, a little over 5 years ago, she received a life-saving bone marrow transplant. At the same time, the St. Louis Blues were last in the NHL in the overall point standings. But the Blues had heard about Layla's story, became inspired. Several reached out to her, including defenseman Colton Parenko, who shared a really special friendship with Layla. Well, fast forward a couple of months, and the St. Louis Blues raised their first ever Stanley Cup. Layla is on hand in Boston for the Cup win. Now, let's move to 2024. And earlier this month, Layla's Chesterfield Lady Falcons won the Missouri State title. And that is represented by the capturing of the Blue Note Cup for her 14U Bantam B3 division team. And in that playoff run, Layla scored her first ever goal in the semifinal game, helping her team get to the championship match. And so, you know, just to win a championship is amazing. But the story doesn't end there, because Layla still champions the bone marrow cause. And she's also very active in the Be the Match Foundation. So she is really sending her message forward, and she's a healthy young lady right now. And going back to the Blues for a second, the Blues have some work to do in their quest to make the playoffs and get the second wild card position. But just like Layla, who never quit, and as the Blues exemplified 5 years ago, never count them out.
That's a great story, Vic. I'm so happy for Bob Plager, the Plager brothers, the history of the franchise. But that little girl, I remember her, and that was such a heartwarming story. But you know, our athletes in the NHL are so good with their time and giving, and that's just one more example of it. But what I'd like to do is talk about the human side of the story. Talk about our guest, Don Waddell, who we've had on here, and I've known Don for quite a while, going all the way back to college. And Don Waddell played for Northern Michigan University. He was drafted by the LA Kings. He had a very short NHL career, one game. That was in 1981 at the LA Forum, and he played the New York Rangers. But so Don ended up with one game more in the NHL than I got, because I got none. Same as me. He went on from there to become involved in management and in coaching, and was in Flint for a long time in the IHL with the Flint Spirits. When I became GM of the New York Rangers in 1989, we didn't have a place for our farm team. I ended up putting it in Flint under the direction of Don Waddell as the manager. And after that, he stayed there for a while. He ended up in the Detroit Red Wings organization as assistant GM to Ken Holland, 1998. And they won the Stanley Cup against Washington that year. So he got a Stanley Cup ring and immediately got appointed as the brand new GM of the brand new Atlanta Thrashers, 1 year away from entering the National Hockey League. Don was a GM there for all the years Atlanta was in Atlanta, other than the last year when he had made Rick Dudley the GM, and he himself had just stepped up to be president alone. And then, of course, in 2011, the Thrashers went to Winnipeg. Where did Don Waddell go? Well, he ended up in Carolina. The Detroit native ended up in Raleigh, North Carolina, as president and the business side of the Carolina Hurricanes. But down the road, when Ron Francis left, they made Don Waddell the general manager and president. And I'm happy to say for my friend that they had a fantastic year last year. They're having a fantastic year this year. And who knows? Maybe a Stanley Cup is in their future, because they certainly did some great things at the deadline. So, again, hats off to Don Waddell, a great hockey career and a really good human being.
And like yourself, 30 years ago, Don has pushed his chips into the middle of the table with the acquisitions that he has made at the deadline. And we look forward to see how those pan out in the next few months.
That's for sure. And it's going to be exciting to see how they do. So anyways, I want to say thanks, Vic, to our sponsors, Migray, UBS, Doer, and the Minsel Financial Partners. Of course, thanks for listening to us. Join us next Tuesday for more NHL discussion. And by the way, if you've got a comment or you've got a subject matter you'd like to hear us talk about, please get us at nhlwraparound@gmail.com. That's nhlwraparound@gmail.com. Send us an email. Tell us what you like, what you don't like. But until then, we'll see you again next Tuesday.
Thanks for joining us on the NHL Wraparound Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to stay up to date on all the NHL action.